Hi, I'm Melinda.
And I'm Raphael.
And we're the Colognes. We are a married couple running a successful professional services marketing agency that is focused on providing support services to AEC and CRE firms.
We're excited to now be expanding our ability to connect with marketing and business development leaders through this podcast.
Our mission is to provide as much value as we can and offer our suggestions on relevant tools and resources.
Join us where we'll interview experts, cover solutions to your marketing challenges, and share our take on how to combat bottlenecks in your marketing efforts.
Sprinkled with some laughs.
And some good, clean fun. Welcome back, Melinda. The listeners, we're missing you last episode.
Were they? Yeah, were you guys? I would love to hear that.
Yeah, I was a little bit rambly, but you know, coherent, but rambly. So they wanted some
they got to get drink to know together you a thoughts. Little bit, right?
I think so.
Telling your story a little bit about, you know, who we are and what you do, and like what does Raphael really do for Fortis OVM? I mean, he's kind of like just been really a valuable team player and focusing on the finances and operational side of our team leading and training. So it's been an invaluable asset to have. And of course, he's my husband. So that's always fun. We get that question a lot, right? Somebody asks, how do you guys interact with each other? Like, how does it work to work with your spouse?
Well, we're working on that. We'll let you know.
We're getting through it. I mean, you know, we're both, my response is usually, well, we're both still alive, so we haven't killed each other or attempted to. But I think the most important thing out of working together, I feel that we stay in our lane. You know, like we have our separate initiatives and we stay focused on that. And we know that at the end of the day, those specific tasks and responsibilities drive up to the overall end goal for Fortis OVM.
I concur. It's when you're staying in your lane, you have your goals and things you want and have to accomplish. And then there are points where that we set up times to meet. So that way we know we're both headed in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good in that way. It's working out so far. So let's keep doing it and not reinvent the wheel.
Not reinventing the wheel. You know, we've got a lot of mentors, a lot of supporters on our side. We've got a lot of people who have done it before, who are continuing to do it. And most importantly, that are leaning in and providing us some really wise, valuable feedback on how we can improve our processes here and make sense of things. And so when we were coming up with topics for our podcast, we thought, well, let's think about our listeners. You know, what are their challenges? What are their concerns right now and on a regular day-to-day basis? And because we were speaking to the, you know, primarily the AEC industry, marketing and business development professionals, we're saying, okay, so what are you guys dealing with on a regular day-to-day basis? What are your challenges? And so we decided on talking about today improving your proposals.
And something that has been working for us, so why not share it so you can enhance your performance? It just,
yeah, I mean, we have several AEC marketers on team, and we all feel pretty much in sync. Like even when we were first interviewing them and like training them and the way that we do things and our best practices, but then also resonating with the industry's best practices. And really interesting, you know, getting to know them and the different regions that they're in. And it's like, wow, okay. So across the board, we all do things similarly, good, bad, and the ugly. But we wanted to talk about the good and also some best practices that we have seen a lot of success in and might be very fruitful for you.
All right, Melinda, let's talk about the good to avoid the ugly. Let's go.
All right. So just to make sure that we're leveling out the playing field, we're talking about proposals. And when I see proposals, I'm talking about qualification packages, 330s, SF330s, and then our standard proposals packages. So I want to talk about heart and head selling and what happens during the proposal process. Typically,
sorry to interrupt you. What was that again? The heart and head selling?
Heart and head. So okay. Like the heart, the feelings, and the head, the data.
Okay.
So how do you emotionally and mentally connect with someone so that they can buy from you? And it's almost like a unanimous vote, or at least we're striving for that, right? So
it's authentic too.
It's authentic. And the word that is commonly coined in our industry is differentiators. So what are our differentiators? And usually senior staff will say, our team, our years of experience, our relationship with client. Well, okay.
All true things.
But one of the three are potentially differentiators. So how do you dig in? How do you get more content, more ideas out of your technical staff and your portfolio of content that you have? And so heart and head selling is very common in the commercial space, commercial marketing space. And I don't often hear it in the AEC proposal space, but I wanted to talk about it. And I know that that's really valuable because we've seen great results from clients in my previous role as a marketer in a corporate space. Heart and head selling has always turned out in positive reviews. So I wanted to share that. So what's really important about the overall proposal process is, let's just take an easy one, okay? A repeat client. What usually happens is that there's a go-by, which is a previous proposal that we've submitted on to that client that has the similar or same team listed in it, and it's a regurgitation. It's like, pull that and then just update the team and projects and we're ready to go. Should be really easy, right? And here's the problem with that. 9 times out of 10, somebody on the selection committee has already seen your proposal. And then you go and you submit the same dang thing to the same people over and over again. It's like, one of my pet peeves is repeating myself. I don't like repeating myself. And it's something that I have to get over because sometimes I just need to. But what happens is, it's like, you know, receiving the same content for a different question. So if my question out to you, Raphael, was, what should I wear today? And you say, oh, wear the pink dress. And then tomorrow I say, what should I wear today? And you say, oh, wear the pink dress. And every single time you tell me to wear the dang pink dress, I'm going to be like, are you even paying attention to how I feel, the weather, the event, the activity that we're going to, how long we're going to be out, how long we're walking, if we're going to be sitting or standing, like all of the other pieces to make a thoughtful decision on whether or not to wear the dress or wear something completely different that's more comfortable. That's what happens with our proposal process. I feel like we get, marketers are almost, because we're so busy, because we've got a lot going on, you're almost thinking like, okay, how is the easiest and the fastest way to get this proposal done? And that's sometimes not the best way to think about it. In fact, it's probably not the best way to think about it at all. But you want to start out with a value proposition. And of course, identifying, you know, your strengths, your weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, like, you know, doing a SWOT. We often say, we got to SWOT it, right? From there, what do you do with all that data, that content information that you get from the kickoff call? You have to think about the story. What is the story? Well, the story is that we're going out on an excursion and we're going to be out in the wilderness for, you know, the entire day, 8 hours, and grass up to our knees. And it's going to be hot, 90-100 degrees.
Humid.
Out. Humid. There's going to be creepy crawlers all over the place. There's probably not going to be an opportunity for us to sit in a comfortable chair. We'll probably be sitting in the Indian style on the grass. Should I wear my pink dress? And so it changes the story because now it's like, well, that's out of place. And that doesn't make really much sense to wear a pink dress in the middle of the wilderness. You want to dress appropriately for the occasion. And so when we're putting together proposals, we want to make sure that we're dressing our team, our company, overall our brand for that specific occasion.
Yeah, you want to wear that spacesuit number you have.
Well, probably for me because I do not like with the creepy collars.
Internal AC. Yeah.
Internal AC. And
your glamping suit. Basically.
And my glamping suit. We can, you know what? That's probably something that we should trademark. Glamping suit and like totally make it because of, you know, global warming and everything, or the lack thereof, or whatever they're calling it to this day.
I think it's climate change now.
Climate change. Okay. I got to keep up. Yeah. The names keep changing. But truly, heart and head selling is so valuable.
Allow your client to feel enough in order to convert them into a buyer.
That's truly the definition of heart selling.
Allow your client to be validated enough in order to convert them into a buyer.
So what's a good example of a head seller? So a head seller is targeting people who like data, right? results driven, like numbers, dollars and cents. Show me your line item of you had X, you put in Y, and then you got Z as a result. Case studies, alignment, like apples to apples, oranges to oranges. Value proposition is a big one on the head selling because it's very logical. And then process. You go from 1 to 2 to 3. Very clean, simplified, not really, you know, gushy and anything. And we do a lot of head selling in most of our proposals, whether they're government, federal, or standard private responses. On the hard selling, it's more challenging on the federal side, especially because when we're submitting on the SF-330, they don't want to see the marketing jargon. You got to be really, really, really careful. And the areas that you can sort of inject some head selling to, or excuse me, heart selling in there, is within the project descriptions and then also the experience. So where it says on the form to list certification, affiliations, or and education, in the affiliations and certification, if that specific team member is a member of an organization or association that is within the community, that's also an opportunity to showcase that, like board member of American Heart Association, Orlando, you know what I mean? So that's an opportunity. The other opportunity is within the project descriptions that are listed on that resume. So the experience is listed like the scope of work. Here's the project name. Here's the scope of work. Now, if we just slightly add in a minor tailor to what the challenge and the solution was on that project, now we're game changers.
Now we're differentiating, buddy.
That's right. And so that's just on the resume. Those are the two areas on the resume. On the project sheets, it's similar. So project sheets, we can talk about the challenge that the client had, then the solution, and then the results. We can go a little bit further into the results. The challenge and the solution is where we get to tell the story, leaving out a lot of the marketing jargon. So this is technical, but there is a way to use technical language to speak to the heart. So because they're passionate about their project. Again, I'm passionate about what I'm wearing at the, you know, when we go into the Congo or wherever the heck we're going. It's important to make sure that you're saying, we understand that you're very passionate about this project. We are too. And we understand this project way better than our competitors in this way, because we took this similar project experience. Here are the solutions that we offered it. And then because of our unique solutions, whether or not they were or were not, they're always unique because they were done by the proposed team, the proposed company. You want to go into how it impacted the client. That's the solution part that, you know, gets injected. That's the marketing piece that you get to add it. Again, stay away from a lot of marketing jargon or fluff words because they don't like that on SF-330s. Heart selling on the standard side and, you know, state, and you're putting together your standard proposal, you're going to be doing storytelling. And, you know, when I tell my mentees about this, they're like, storytelling? I got to write a whole proposal? No. Our technical staff writes a proposal. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying take their language, take their speak, and massage it into a story. So what the client is asking for you to do is to tell them, I can resolve your problem by doing this.
A little journey?
Yeah, a journey. Sharing the relationship that you have with the client, with the community, with the project. You know, oftentimes I will suggest to clients who are submitting to a client or to somebody who is in or around their where people live on the team. And I'll say, why don't we list on their resumes residents? You know, like they're a resident of Orlando or they're a resident of Orange County. And what that does, if the client that they're submitting to is the city of Orlando, oh man, you know, they care because that's the city that they live in,
or the county. In it, yeah.
Correct. they're invested. So that's another way to do some hard selling. When there's an opportunity to do that, trust and service and understanding, you know, trust is, I feel like that's just one of those words where it's kind of like integrity. It's just a word that's thrown around and we define it differently sometimes. And the reality of the situation is that trust to in hard selling is truly about just being open, honest, and vulnerable in writing in a technical way. And that is, it's a special skill, but if done right, oh man, it's a home run.
Service,
yeah. Because service is like, I mean, you could break it down to what you do on your personal life and also professionally. So in this industry, you know, we've seen a lot of clients pick up opportunities to serve their community, right? That's a way that we can connect with our clients that we're submitting our proposals to. Like, because they're caring about, let's say, the American Heart Association. And we have just so happened, not saying that you should donate or support the American Heart Association just cause, but we just so happen feel that supporting HA and other organizations like that is a part of who we are, our culture. And it's embodied into what we do and how we just show up every day. That is just taking it a step further. And it might think, you might think like, why is that relevant to the client? And you'd be surprised that when you're doing your research, when you're data mining through your CRM system, when you're looking at project sheets, and when you're even Googling them, going to their social media pages, going to their website to look at their mission and vision and goals for the fiscal year, you'll learn a lot about who they are. And that's what you speak to on the heart side, because trying to connect it directly to the RFP, everybody is a great company. Everybody has amazing people. Everybody has awesome, you know, depth of experience to respond. Otherwise, they probably, well, I'm not going to say always, because we have those clients who, you know, not clients of ours, but people in the industry, companies in the industry that actually submit on things that they shouldn't be submitting on. But for the most part, if you're aligning yourself with those opportunities, it's because you think you have a good shot at getting them, right? Like, why put that energy and that time? And we covered it in a previous podcast episode about how that calculates out. Like, if your company is submitting on 100 proposals a year, and that's broken down to maybe 20 each person on your team, then your win rate is like 30%. Well, guess what? That means that there's 70 proposals that are not winning. So, like, why are we not?
Wasted man hours, wasted resources.
You still have to submit on them. So, like, when you win one, it might be one that's like, oh man, it's one of the biggest of the year, or, you know, biggest of the last 2 years, 5 years, whatever. But it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, you have to divide the value of that across 100 proposals. So, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I feel so passionate about heart and head selling, because it really takes the go, no go strategy to the next level. It's not just, okay, we stop at filling out a go, no go process, you know, checklist. But we take the checklist and get your hands on it. If you don't have your, you know, you can get it. And really understanding why we're saying that we want to submit, using that information to develop a must-win plan. And in that must-win plan, that's going to include the heart and head selling strategy. So it really, that takes it down from, okay, I'm submitting on 100, then your win rate starts to increase, because you're like, wait a minute, I'm not just copying and pasting. I'm not just duplicating some boilerplate and putting it into the next proposal. I am actually being intentional about
purposeful about responding
to things. How many times have we seen as Fortis OBM that we have in the last, I would say, what, 8 months? The last 8 months, how many times have we seen wins for clients that are submitting on work for a new client that they've never been in front of?
All the time.
And when they're winning, they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think we were going to win. And let me tell you, that's the hardest. Those are the hardest proposals to submit on, I tell you, because it's like pulling teeth to get them to understand that they need to go a little bit further in their response to get in front of the client. Every single time they're like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe we won that. Thank you so much. They're amazed. I mean, just shocked and awe. And I'm just like, you guys, you got to go a little bit further because, you know, you're right on the cusp of making a difference between looking like everyone else or differentiating yourself.
It seems like proposals or RFPs, everyone, especially if a lot of people are chasing it, it's a checklist. So by bare minimum, when you submit something, you're going to see if everybody has the same criteria. So what makes you stand out? So I think that's what really the heart part comes in, because the heart really emphasizes the differentiation and helps you connect with the actual company you want to apply for.
That's right. You know, at the end of the day, anybody can have your criteria. You can get, your company can be merged with another company or acquired by another company, or, you know, whatever that might be. And at the end of the day, it's about your user experience. It's about that big portfolio of relevant and recent experience of size, cost, and complexity. However, the biggest deal, the biggest part of that is not waiting until the presentation to show them who you are. It's to really be eloquent on how to write that in a proposal form and making sure to give them just enough of a taste of that personality, that relationship that they are so excited to have to get their project on the road and towards delivery.
I think it's really a foregone aspect, you know, because you can submit the proposal. You may have the right numbers, but, you know, those little changes makes you be the winner. There's only one winner. There's only one person who gets the contract. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that in a nutshell is heart and head selling. If anybody is interested in getting a little bit more practice and just a good detailed review of what it means to, you know, research beyond the selection criteria, you are more than welcome to reach out to us at hello@fortisobm.com and schedule a time for us to work with you and your team. Thank you so much for tuning in today for another Fortis Baseline episode.
We appreciate you.
And we look forward to the next time.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Do you need to improve your marketing department and don't know where to start?
Fortis OBM offers in-person and virtual one-on-one and group training. Our coaching programs are designed specifically for the marketing department of one and onboarding new team members who are new to the industry. We teach mindset, marketing, and strategy, providing immediate value to your company and marketing department.
Whether you're struggling to prioritize your marketing initiatives or need help onboarding a new team member, we have the right solutions for you. To learn more, go to www.fortisobm.com.